You take your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah. We'll be in Isaiah chapter 40 tonight. It's a fairly long chapter, but it's pretty straightforward. Last week, we went through a very short chapter, which was Isaiah 39, Hezekiah's failure. And from our perspective and our Christian walk, we need to be careful after we have a significant spiritual victory that we don't go into defeat, that we don't turn our back on God, that we don't think everything's hunky-dory and we just let our guard down. That's what happened to Hezekiah, and he failed. Because the greatest spiritual defeats often follow the greatest spiritual victories. So we saw in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 39 the pride of Hezekiah. It was brought about by flattery. We saw some verses out of Proverbs that talked about that is a trap to your neighbor. It's a trap to you. And then also, it's brought about by failure to acknowledge God. God owns everything. God owns us. God should direct all of our path. And so, if we take our eyes off of God, and we put our eyes in the world, we're setting ourselves up for failure. So that's the first two verses. The problem of Hezekiah, in God's eyes, is that he just forgot God. And it was pride. It was basically pride. And when we start thinking that we know it all, we forget the warnings that God had already sent. Isaiah had already been preaching about what was going to happen, that Babylon's coming. Babylon's coming, and he ignored it. So instead, Hezekiah gives these ambassadors from Babylon a roadmap on where to go, what to look for, what you can get here. There was nothing hid from the future oppressors. And then there was prophecy pronounced to Hezekiah. It came from the word of the Lord. Folks, that's what we need to act on, is the word of the Lord. And the Bible says that we need to do it. The Bible says don't do it. We need to refrain from doing it. We need to live by God's standard. We need to live by its truth. And the prophecy says all the stuff that you show to these Babylonians going to be taken away because they want it. And then the rulers are going to be taken away. And we know that just a few more generations are left before this happens. And we looked at the history and see that God's prophecy comes true. Folks, that ought to give us encouragement to know that what God says is going to come true. He's coming back, folks. Yeah. It's true. But then how we respond is really an indication of our spiritual condition. Hezekiah's great response to this was, at least it won't happen to me. I'll have peace for my 15 years of life that God gave me when I prayed to him. And I'm okay now. No, we're just not okay. We need to follow God all the time. So we have come out of this division of history. We've come out of a division of judgment where Isaiah is saying, this is what's wrong with you, Israel. This is what's going to happen. And now we've come through a short-term prophecy come true. Now we're going to start seeing prophecies of Christ. In Isaiah chapter 40, we see God's message of comfort. God can only provide relief from his judgment. When there's judgment coming, God will always have mercy and grace. And there's always a way. There's always a way. So tonight, we'll start off by looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. And this is an exciting thing, but put yourself in the mindset, put yourself back 700 years before Christ. And Isaiah is talking about this, and it just goes right over top of their heads. You know, prophecy should bring an excitement. And it says here in verse 10, it says, of which Salvation. This is what he's going to be talking about now. Now, which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what matter of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And we're going to go into that section now in Isaiah. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost set down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Folks, tonight, the scriptures that we hold and what we're going to read tonight happened. It happened. Just the way that God said they would. It brought peace and grace and salvation to people that sat in darkness. You know, we preach the same gospel today. It can bring peace and salvation to people who are in darkness. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So in verses 1 through 11, we see comfort, which is a message from God. You know, He is the God of what? All comfort. When we talk about character, we need a new awakening of the character of God. That brings revival. And there's comfort for His people. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2, it says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You know, God can give comfort and give relief from judgment. See, God's comfort is not just for Israel, it's for all of us. And we need to be attentive to that. So comfort is a message for God, for His people. And now we see a prophecy from the forerunner, John the Baptist. We're going to break this passage down a little bit, very quickly as we go through here. But we'll see his identity revealed. It said, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Now, you could go to the Gospels. You could go to Luke. You could go to John chapter 1, Luke 3. And you can see people flocking to John the Baptist. And they say, are you the Christ? He says, no. I'm the one, the voice crying in the wilderness. It's no coincidence that we're going to study Malachi. And Malachi ends with the prophecy of John the Baptist too. So before the Israelites go into captivity, there's this prophecy of John the Baptist. After they come back out and they go in the 400 years of silence, there's this prophecy of John the Baptist. He's coming. It's God's comfort. It's God's comfort. So we see his identity revealed in the first part of 3. His message is prophesied in verses 3, the rest of chapter, verse 3 to chapter 8. The first thing is, what's his message? Prepare. Folks, we need to be prepared for God. We need to be prepared for what God's going to do so we can do it. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 8, it says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Where did John the Baptist go? In the desert. He wasn't in Jerusalem. He was out in the wilderness. People should have known this. They should have known their scripture. Anybody knew the scripture knew, hey, he's the forerunner. Folks, we have the scripture. We ought to know. What are we doing about it? Unfortunately, we're not doing anything. We're just letting it go on. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill should be made low. This is what he was preaching. This is what Luke writes. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. You know, we need to be prepared. We need to let God prepare us for what God has got for us. Amen? The second part of this was to perceive. John chapter 1, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." He says, "There's someone coming behind me. Now I'm not worthy to undo the latches of his shoes." In verse 5, he says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of His Father. Full of what? Grace and truth. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." Who's that? That's Christ. "And all flesh shall see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Amen. Oh, don't you get excited when we hear these prophecies of Christ? We should get excited about what Christ is going to do for us in the future. But are you prepared? Are you willing to give up and let God take control? Do we perceive? Remember, these things have to be what? Spiritually discerned. The carnal man cannot see the spiritual things of God. The last thing is what we're supposed to do. This is where revival comes in, folks. We're supposed to proclaim. In verses 6 and 8, it says, "The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as a flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Amen. Oh, folks, tonight, if you don't do anything else, be prepared for what God wants to do in your life. Perceive God working around us and in us, and then proclaim what He does for us. So we see comfort for His people. We see comfort because this message is going to come true, and John the Baptist is going to proclaim it. And then the last thing is we see comfort from the Messiah because He's God. God did all this for us. What an awesome God. You know, we're the only faith that has that. Islam doesn't have that. Hinduism doesn't have that. Buddhism doesn't have it. He talks about what we could do for Him. But we need to understand, before we do things for God, we need to let Him do things in us. Amen. See, the gospel is brought from Zion. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from what? Above. In verse 9, it says, "O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain." Folks, it's time to understand that God is high and lifted up. And it's time for us to go and get high and lifted up so we get close to God. Our desire should be getting close to God. We should be heavenly minded and heavenly bent and pressing toward the mark. Amen. Instead of living down in the squalor of the valley. It is, "O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." Amen. Is He your God tonight?
Amen.
then you need to behold him. You need to proclaim him. Christ is the judge. Verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. There's the life of Christ right there. The reward is salvation and eternal life. The work is so that we could believe. He did that work for us so that we could believe. That we could see his strong arm. Christ is a shepherd. In verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Folks, if that doesn't excite you, there's something wrong. God's going to provide his comfort. Do you need comfort tonight? You can find it in his Son. You can find it with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's the verse. Sometimes my thumb just doesn't work. Okay? So now, the bulk of this chapter talks about revelation from God. And in verses 12 through 26, we see creation, which is a revelation from God. Okay, so here are some fundamental truths tonight, folks. Man is not the creator. God is. And when we talk about Christ, when we talk about God, we're talking about Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him and for him. And by all things, by him all things consist. He came into his own, and his own received him not. In verse 12, God asks some questions, hard questions. The answer is none of us. And if you think that you've answered these things, you got some. You need some help. Period. Okay? Who hath measured the water in the hollow of his hand? The answer is God did. And meted out heaven with a span. Who is from everlasting to everlasting, every present? God is. And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. God does. And weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Not man. God. Oh, it's a revelation of God. It's time to look up. The heavens declare the handiwork of God. Man, it's not spiritual. You're not born that way. Man's not spiritual. Christ is. Verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? I'll tell you what, folks. I get very concerned when I see people telling God what to do. And you can see that on TV. You don't tell God what to do. He tells us what to do. We got to get things in perspective here. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? You know, there's a lot of people out there today, some of them in churches, that think they know more about things than God does. They think they know more about the Bible than God wrote. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. See, man's not creator. Christ is. Man's not spiritual. Christ is. Man's not righteous. God is. Verse 14. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment? I'll tell you what. I watch the news and I watch some of these judgments coming down. And I'm going, huh? Just doesn't make sense. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to judge what? Righteous judgment. How can you judge righteous judgments unless you're righteous? How can you be righteous unless you know God? How can you know God unless you know Christ? How you know, can you know Christ unless you know His Word? Taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding. See, man's not creator, Christ is. Man's not spiritual, Christ is. Man's not righteous, Christ is. Man's not powerful, Christ is. Verses 15 through 70. Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket. Now, what does that really mean? The best glory of the United States of America is nothing compared to the glory of God. The power of the greatest army in the world, the greatest empire in the world, is a trifle when compared to God. It said, behold, the nations are a drop in the bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a what? Very little thing. So teeny tiny. We think we're so great. We're nothing. We're nothing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. And his judgment. Now, Lebanon was known for its forest. Nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him as a what? Or as nothing. And they are counted to him. Now, I don't understand this verse. What is less than nothing? Less than nothing is nothing. You get the point, though? We're zero. We need a hero. His name's Jesus. Amen. Less than nothing and what? Vanity. All of our righteousness are as what? Filthy rags. So not as man, not creator, he's not spiritual, he's not righteous, he's not powerful. What man makes are not God either. So man's idols are not God. You can't take the place of God. So, we come up with all sorts of arguments when we get attacked. And so here's some arguments that we might say that are zero. Actually, they're less than zero because they're vanity. Well, my idol's better than anybody else's. It doesn't matter what your idol looked like. Which means we can make an idol out of just about anything, huh? To whom will you liken? Then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? So we don't know. We know some things about him, but we don't know the details. And we're not going to know until we stand face to face before him. And we're going to one day stand face to face before him as either Savior or Judge. And we're all going through the judgment, but the saved get to go in. It doesn't matter what they look at. Well, mine's better than yours. Doesn't matter. Ah. Yeah. That's the prayer chain phone, folks. Okay? Hello? Doesn't matter what they're made of. In verses 19 through 20, it says, the workman melteth a graven image. And the goldsmith spreadeth this over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he has no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image, that it shall not be moved. Here are some sad things, folks. We make gods out of things that are temporary. Mankind makes gods out of things that melt away. And you know something? We'll spend all of our resources to feed our God. We'll give him all of our time. We'll do everything. We'll even sacrifice so we can get pleasure, but we don't sacrifice for God. And that's what verse 22 says. Say, you're too poor to bring an offering to church, but you're not too poor to find $150 football tickets. You're too poor to maybe work, give to missions, but you could buy a car that you really don't need. Where do we put our priorities, folks? Be careful. Our priority needs to be God. So, it doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter what they are made of. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you... I should take that back. It doesn't matter what you think about creation. There's all sorts of ideas about creation. But I know in the beginning,
God created.
By faith we know that the worlds were created. So, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the fountain? Why does God keep on asking these questions? Because we're not listening. The fountain, it is he that sitteth. Oh, hey, Flat Earth Society. Here comes something. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The earth is round. Okay? And the inhabitants thereof are what? Grasshopper. And we're not talking about movies. Okay? That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Doesn't matter what you think about creation. See, Romans 1 talks about they worship the creature more than the creator. Folks, people do that today. Doesn't matter what governments you establish. We're going to bring peace. No, you're not. Christ will. You think you might, but it's not going to happen. I think every world leader should do what was given to the commandment that was given to the kings of Israel. You go and you write out the word of God so you know it. And then you have judgment based on it. Oh, if we would have that in America today. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as what? Vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as what? Stubble. And as the chaff of the wind, they're gone. So we see man's idols are not God. Doesn't matter what you create, doesn't matter what you make them out of, doesn't matter what they look like, doesn't matter what government says about them, they're not God. See, God's real. And we need to understand that. In verses 25 and 26, it says, "To whom then will ye liken me? Or what shall I be equal, saith the Holy One?" My Bible tells me, he says, I am God, and beside me there is no Savior. I am God, and beside me there's no one else. I am God alone. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. You know, there's not a single promise that God's made that's failed. There's not a single prophecy of God that has not come true, or will come true, or will not come true. What God says he will do, he will do. Why don't we just believe that? It'll change your life.
Right.
Is there anything too hard for me? Is my hand shortened that I cannot save? So we see here creation is a revelation of God. It's not a revelation of man. Man didn't do it. God did. And as we close this chapter, consideration, something that we need to consider tonight is we need to consider the call from God. See, Israel's problem is that you cannot see God when you're not truly looking. You cannot see God when you're not truly looking. "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord?" Sound familiar? We say he's omniscient, but then he doesn't know what I'm doing. Nah. "My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God." See, God's answer is found in 28 through 31. It says, you must see things God's way. You must see things God's way. Verse 28. And here we go again. What? Don't you know this? You know, it's like these Geico commercials. What? You know, even a caveman can do it. No, the issue is we got to see things God's way, and then you understand God. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens, of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." You must do things in God's strength. In verses 29 and 30, "He giveth power to the faint." Someone out here tonight wore out. God gives you power. Someone here lacking direction, God will give direction. "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary." It doesn't matter how young or how strong or how old you are. You can't do this on your own. You need the comfort of God. It's just a matter of time until you wear out. "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail." You must have faith. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Let's look at this here. There's several things that we need to do here. We need to wait on the Lord. That means let's not get ahead of him. Let's not try to lead God, but let God lead us. Okay? If you do this, you will have your strength renewed. What does that really mean? We need our strength renewed. It is a requirement that we have to have in order to walk the spiritual life. The inner man is renewed day by day. What will you be able to do? You'll be able to get above the circumstances that's got you bound. It says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall what? Run. You know, when you're excited about something, you see something you want, you what? You run to it. You know, is there the old blue light special in Walmart and Kmart? Where the blue light came on, everybody. Whoosh. Remember, it wasn't so long ago when someone had toilet paper that everybody ran. We'll run for toilet paper, but will we run for God? We need it! You need God. And not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. See, I want to point out three things in closing real quick on this thing. As faith, there's another perspective on this. The young Christian shall mount up as an eagle. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, it says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. Folks, there's a lot of people that are calling on the Lord out of an impure heart. There's a lot of people out there that have some fake theology out there that sounds good, but it's wrong. Right. And we need to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Follow truth. So the young Christian shall mount up as eagles. Okay? Secondly, the adult Christian shall run. Shall run. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are accomplished about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us what? Lay aside every weight. Now, who's the us? Is anyone excluded? No. It's time to come to church and say, this message is for me. You come to church and say, this doesn't apply to me. There's something wrong. Wherefore, seeing we are accomplished bound with so great a cloud of wind, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Folks, we have a job to do. We have a race to run. And it's time to adult up and do it. The mature Christian shall walk. How do you get victory in your life? You walk in the Spirit. How do you stay away from sin? You walk in the Spirit. How do you know you're doing the right thing? You walk in the Spirit. How do you know you're in the right place? You walk in the Spirit. How do you know we're the right people? You walk in the Spirit. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, we need a proper perspective here. And then we need a proper empowerment here. See, God's got the comfort. The issue is, have we received it? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you for this time of invitation. Father, help us to hear your message of comfort. Help us to realize that you're God, we're not. Father, help us, Lord, to get rid of things that we put in place of you. And Father, help us, Lord, to see things your way, to do things your way, and be in your way, the way of righteousness. Help us, Lord, tonight. We're a needy people. Bring revival. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.